Hello, everybody. You're listening to Skate Foo, Episode 9. Today's topic is back to the basics. I want to talk a little bit about how to start with planted aquariums. This is a topic that I'll give credit to Saria from Aquascaping World for bringing my attention to it. We've been talking in the past with experts and maybe at a very high level and making some assumptions of some basic knowledge. But I think it's a great idea to talk fundamentals and really go from the beginning forward so that we can all be on the same page and learning together. So today's topic is back to the basics. So how do we begin if we're someone that has never had a planted aquarium before and is looking to avoid mistakes, has read all the horror stories on the online forums about algae? Where do you start? Where do you find information? Where can you get help to try and minimize the mistakes you're going to do? I think these are all great questions. I also think that today somebody in that position is very lucky. Back in the day, where before the internet, really what you had were a few magazines, and hopefully there'll be an article in them or not, and some books, and probably not a lot of good information in those books. If you knew somebody that kept plants, if you're in the United States, you were lucky, because I think there were very, very few people that kept aquarium plants, and they were spread out across the country. So the internet has certainly shrunk folks. The distance between folks has allowed people to get together and share knowledge. And that's something that will benefit anybody in this sort of position. Let's talk about some fundamental concepts that I keep hearing and reading about in the forums that I'd like to clarify. You hear a lot about high tech and low tech, and as a beginner, I'm sure you're wondering, what should I do? I'm hoping you have a budget for this endeavor, but if you are like most people, that budget is going to be limited, so you want to invest wisely in your equipment and in what you'll need to have a good aquarium. You'll probably go on the online forums or somewhere on the internet and you'll read about high tech and low tech and natural versus non-natural versus nature aquarium. I really don't like these tags that people put on the keeping of and setting up of an aquarium, a planted aquarium. I think they are misleading. I think they lead to confusion. I also don't like the word balance. I read a lot about balance, and in the past we were always striving for balance. And to tell you the truth, after, at least in my humble opinion, after so many years of being in this hobby, I think the quest for balance is futile. I don't think you should focus on balance. Instead, I would encourage you to focus on two things. Number one, sufficiency. You want to provide your plants with sufficient amounts of, with a sufficient amount of what they need to grow when they need it. That is what you should be striving for. It's very similar to what we try and do when we're working out and we're trying to build muscle or lose fat or whatever it is. We're trying to provide our muscles with the protein they need to grow when they're building, right? After you've torn them up after a strenuous workout. Much similar to that, the plants are growing. You want to make sure that they have everything they need to continue to grow properly without running into some sort of deficiency that would stunt or prevent their growth. It is in those limitations, right, when you're not providing everything they need, that algae can really take a foothold and blossom. Once you have sufficiency, once you've mastered how to give your plants what they need when they need it, then the other thing you need to have is consistency. You need to do that on a consistent basis. You can't do it every once in a while. You can't do it once a week. It has to be consistently over a long period of time. And that is what will lead to a well-established, healthy planted aquarium where algae will be at a minimum. It won't be a real eyesore for you. So that's the goal. It's really sufficiency first, consistency. So you'll hear me talking in the future and in this podcast about sufficiency and consistency. I will try not to use the word balance. I will try not to use high tech or low tech. I like to look at things more in whether they're high maintenance or low maintenance. So we've looked at the concept first. Balance is a myth, I think. More appropriate to look at sufficiency and consistency. And then in terms of what equipment you need, I view it more as a high maintenance aquarium where you'll need to devote a lot of time to it relatively, or a low maintenance aquarium, which is less work on your part. An example to try and illustrate the concept I'm talking about here is you could have what most people would think is a high-tech aquarium that is very, very easy to run. And that would be the high, you know, the most expensive gadgets, full automated CO2, great lighting, maybe even the use of LEDs, which is what's coming out now, LEDs, a great filter, changes the water automatically for you, it tops it off, it provides fertilizer additions on a drip method or even a computerized method. That, yes, I agree, that is very high tech, a lot of gadgets tied to that. But I could also have a very simple, bare bones aquarium that is very difficult to maintain and that I need to spend a lot of time on it, which is maybe setting up an aquarium and sticking it outside in my backyard and using the sun as lighting. Or maybe having a very nutrient-rich soil, like mineralized or just the use of mud, that would take a lot of work to keep that looking good simply because of the variables I can't really control. So one would be low maintenance, the other one would be high maintenance. I'm not focused on the gadgets that I have on it, but really on what tools I've used in the aquarium and whether those tools lead me to have an aquarium where I need to spend a lot of time on it or an aquarium where I need to spend very little time on it. So as part of your planning process, which I encourage everybody to spend some time planning and push off the purchase of equipment, is what type of aquarium do you want to have? A low-maintenance aquarium, a high-maintenance aquarium? How much time do you realistically have so that you can give it sufficiency, and you can give it consistency. Okay? So those are the things that I would tell you at the beginning to put some thought on. And when you're very clear on what type of aquarium and time commitment you're going to have, then take your next step to start planning the actual equipment purchase and what type of setup you're going to have. Type of setup really is up to you. Sky's the limit. I would encourage you, and I did a recent post on not hitting your aquascape with the ugly stick. What I mean by that is don't focus only on the aquascape inside of your aquarium, but also the aesthetics of the overall aquarium, what's outside as well. Don't have an aquarium with a piece of 2x4 and cinder blocks holding it up, right? Or a beat up wood, ugly, old stand inside your very modern living room. Look at where you're going to situate this aquarium. What's the overall design? What would fit in there? And spend some time thinking and some thought into what would be pleasing in that area that you've chosen. And then go out and try and find it. If you need to spend some more time saving to get the right setup going, I encourage you to do that. You will be much happier later. After many years, again, of being in this hobby, investing two, three, 6 more months of time to plan and save before you set up your aquarium will save you months of agony afterwards. So please make the investment up front, put the effort in doing your research up front, figure out what you really want, what you really can handle, and then make your purchases. Saria, and I think I'm pronouncing your name right, from aquascapingworld.com, mentioned that she would like some information on what is a good maintenance routine. In the last podcast, I said, have a good maintenance routine and algae won't be a major issue for you. And she, you know, she told me it right out in a post that, what does that mean? That I jumped right over that, and she's absolutely right. So, Saria and everyone else, I think a maintenance routine is something that every good aquarist will have. I think for a planted aquarium where a lot of things can go wrong, and if you don't pay attention to your maintenance routine, you will end up with an algae tank. There's certain things you can make sure to do. And again, this goes towards that consistency. You need to have consistent maintenance of your aquarium. Not every once in a while, not every few months, consistent maintenance. That is what is going to keep your aquarium looking good. That's what it's going to keep it being healthy. What do I mean by that? Well, I conceptualize it as simply striving for keeping it clean. Much like you would keep yourself clean, much like you keep your house clean, I hope. I would tell you, keep the aquarium clean. What does that mean? Clean the glass. Buy yourself one of those tiny, inexpensive glass scrubbers and wipe off the algae that'll accumulate on there. Once your aquarium is sufficiently healthy and consistently healthy, you will notice that that green algae that tends to form on the panes, the glass panes or acrylic panes, tends to be minimal. But even then, every once in a while, you'll need to do that. So keep it clean, scrub that away. Now, when you're scrubbing that away, make sure that you are scrubbing with one hand and your other hand has a hose, preferably a relatively tiny hose, right next to the scrubber and sucking out water. Why do I say that? Well, as you scrub, you're releasing a bunch of algae into the water column that it's preferable that that gets sucked out as part of your water change routine. So do that. Very simple to do. You don't want to take, it's going to take you a while, so you don't want to empty the aquarium while you're doing this. So use a thin plastic hose into a bucket and it works great. Another thing I do after doing that in a good maintenance where I have some good cleaning and I think there's a lot of stuff going into the water column, I have a separate hang-on filter with some micron filters in there, cartridges in there, and I run it for an hour or two after I finish. And that tends to clean up anything that I've left in the water column very nicely and keep my water polished and clear. You want clear water so that you have maximum light coming down and nothing really lowering the light levels. Take out dead leaves, and when you trim, take out all the trimmings. Very simple. Again, trim with a little net next to you and scoop up as you're trimming. Give a good look every day or two around your aquarium to see the plants, if they're dropping leaves. If they are, take your scissor, stick it in there, clip it, pull it out, okay? Otherwise, you're leaving items in the water column that will decompose and cause problems. To the extent you can, remove algae on a weekly basis. You're going to have some normal algae growing. Depending on the plants that you have, you'll have some green string algae or other algae that are growing. I'm assuming you're going to have a cleanup crew. Typically nowadays, those are freshwater shrimp that love to eat this algae. You can go online and you'll find out tons of information on where to buy and what types to buy. Also, some fish will do a good job in eating that algae. But I tend to minimize my shrimp because they are kind of sensitive, and I tend to minimize the algae-eating fish as well. So what I tend to do is use an old toothbrush, and I just clean the plants, brush the plants. All the algae strings get tied up in the brush. I take it out, I clean it, and I keep going. That plus a good routine of fertilizing keeps algae to a minimum. Clean your filter. Most of you will be using a canister filter. Those things get dirty. They accumulate mold, detritus. That is also putting a bunch of stuff back into your water that you'd prefer not to have. Take them out once a month, completely dismantle it, clean it out, make sure don't kill the bacteria in your bio area, but rinse it out. Remove all that dead detritus, detritus is dead. All the dead leaves, detritus, and everything else that's in there. Scrub the pipes. If you can, you can either make your own or buy one of those long, flexible pipe cleaners and run them through there. Try and keep your filters clean, cleaning once a month at a minimum. That's at least in my opinion. Make sure you're cleaning your covers, right? If you have a glass top, make sure you're cleaning that. Otherwise, it's going to block out some light. Whatever lighting you have, typically they'll have a protective glass between the lighting and the aquarium. Unsnap it, see if you can snap that glass off, unscrew it, whatever it is, and wipe it down. Make sure it's clear. Those will also accumulate and will cut down on your lighting. Lighting is difficult enough and expensive enough. You don't want to cut it down simply because things are dirty. The last thing I think I would recommend in terms of maintenance is vacuum. I know a lot of people that don't vacuum, and in the past you didn't want to vacuum because, you know, you had various stuff down in the substrate that you didn't want pulling up. But a lot of detritus gets in there. Get comfortable with the technique of vacuuming just the top centimeter or so, half inch or so of your gravel, and really get in there. This will really cut down on unwanted waste sitting in your aquarium that tends to make your water yellowish or have a bunch of other problems. It will look a lot cleaner. It makes a good aquascape. It's good husbandry. So just get used to doing that. You will also see that I recommend in the sufficiency part of the equation, using Tom Barr's estimative index. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, but that requires that you do some pretty sizable water change routines. So in your planning, plan on changing the water every weekend 50%. So depending on the capacity of your system, you may need to come up with some ways to make that easy on yourself, whether it's an automatic water changer, whether it's hooking up a hose so you can just turn on the spigot and then turn it off when you're done. Try and think through how can I make changing 50% of the water here as easy to do as possible, because if it's easy, you're going to do it. If it's hard, if you're going to do the bucket brigade, you're not going to do it. And if you don't do it, you're violating the second rule, consistency, and you're going to have problems. So think through that. So I think that's everything I have on maintenance. If there's anybody else out there that has some good suggestions on maintenance that's working for you, email it to me at admin@scapefoo.com, post it on the blog at scapefoo.com, and I'll be happy to share it with the audience. In terms of what to start with, well, I would say buy the best plants you can. Unfortunately, in the U.S., we don't have great plant sources. Hobbyists will tend to be your best plant sources because they have good, healthy plants that they tend to sell. I would go on the forums, in the for sale forums, and try and identify folks that sell plants a lot, that people are giving good ratings to, and buy from them. Hopefully we will have some companies online that will give and send and sell quality, healthy plants. I've been burned too many times buying online from sources where what you end up getting is a very unhealthy plant. Either the plant didn't start off very healthy, it wasn't packed right, all sorts of things. And you're just, especially if this is your first time, you're setting yourself up for a very difficult task, because now you have to rehabilitate that plant back to health and then get it to grow in the new environment. So that's really not what you want to do. Buy the healthiest plants you can. Buy them all at once if possible, so that you plant heavy on your first aquascape or planted aquarium, and go that route. Don't add fish for at least a month, preferably even two. And then when you start adding fish, add them slowly. This will allow you to control most things, okay? Don't experiment with all these soils or different recommendations that you see on the forum, like, for example, mineralized topsoil and whatnot. Go with a tried and true recipe. I'll give you some resources that will not have variables that are difficult to control for a newbie, for somebody new. By all means, experiment once you have some good experience under your belt, but for the first time, don't do it. That's really all I have to say. There's a million and one ways to set up a planted aquarium, and people will tell you things differently. I think there's a lot of ways to get to a good, healthy planted aquarium, but really you need to start with the end in mind. What type of aquarium do I want? Low maintenance, high maintenance? What do I want it to look like? Then figure out how to get there. Where to go for help? Well, there's some sites that I'm going to recommend, but first, there's certainly the forums, the online forums. There's many of them out there. The ones I know, please, folks, don't send me emails. I know that there's many, many. But the ones I'm most familiar with tend to be the larger ones, which are Aquatic Plant Central, which is near and dear to my heart. PlantedTank.net is the other. And Tom Barr, the Barr Report, are the three big ones, I would say. The problem with that is that there's so much information there. If you go there with a very specific question and search for it, you'll get great experiences and answers to it. But if you go there with a very general question like, where do I start? Very difficult, and you'll be quickly overwhelmed, because few, I think, have the ability to give you the right information in bite size at the beginning so that you can at least get started. What I would recommend you do on these online forums is get comfortable with one or two. Nowadays, it's pretty simple to keep track of all three. Just subscribe to them, or just hit the new post button when you get to them, and you'll quickly get a listing and you can scan it. There's apps for smartphones like Tapatalk, which is what I use to keep track of all of these forums. And I forgot to mention one forum that's also very good that I'm getting into now, and it's the UK Aquatic Plant Society, I believe it's called, UCAPS, George Farmer's site. It's a great forum the UK Aquatic Plant Society forum. It's at ukaps.org. Wonderful, fantastic forum, mostly European, obviously, and that's why I haven't really been there often, but I am going there. So anyway, sorry, George, but I did want to mention it. What I would do is look at the forums designed for new people, find some experienced folks that keep posting, responding to new people questions and helping. Get to know them, send them private messages, ask them questions, post your questions, see what comes back. You're going to make some key contacts that will be very valuable for you in when you have issues or doubts or questions, and even reinforcing uplifting you when things get a little rough. So that's how I would use those forums. And then for specific questions that you have, reviews of products, you can search those forums and you'll get very, very good answers. But be sure to search all three because they tend to be very different in what they focus on. Aquatic Plant Central, for the most part, it's very scientific, type of advanced. Planet Tank Forum is more on the practical side, a lot more volume in terms of posts and people discussing matters. The Bar Report is also very advanced and technical, and Tom has his way of giving recommendations and great advice. And as I mentioned to you, I recommend Tom's estimative index method of providing nutrients for plants. So I would go to Tom Barr's site, look that up, and that will give you some very good information on how to get that going. I would also encourage you to go to the Dallas-Fort Worth Aquatic Plant Club website. I believe their URL is aquatic-plants.org. They have articles in there that anybody can look at. You don't have to be a member. And there's a great one on the basics by Ben Belton, who took the time to put together in bite-sized form what I think is a great summary of what is needed to start. So go over there, take a look at that. There's a few other articles there that are very good and I think relevant for you. There's also another site called, the URL is sundeepmandel.com, S-U-D-E-E-P-M-A-N as in Nancy, D-A-L.com. Now, that site has a how to set up a low-tech planted tank, which also is a very good summary of the basics, and that can serve as a guide for you. So those are kind of the places I would refer you to. There's other more specialized niche forums out there, like Aquascaping World and a few others that are very helpful. And if you're not in the United States, there's obviously forums for your language or your country or continent that you can refer to that serve the same purpose. The one thing I would ask, however, is, as you'll see in these forums, there's a lot of people giving of their time and giving back to those that are starting out and helping out. A little bit of what I'm doing here on this podcast. What I would ask you to do is give back as well. You're taking a lot of information in, put up by people that are very generous with their time, that want to see the hobby grow, that want to help other people get into it for the benefit of the hobby and for everybody else. You have a responsibility taking all of that information and setting up your beautiful aquarium in taking your knowledge and experiences and putting it back into the pot called the internet so that other people who are in your shoes or will be in your shoes at the beginning can learn from you. So what I ask of you is that you start a blog, at bare minimum start a post on your experiences, but a lot of these forums like Aquatic Plant Central, Planet Tank, allow you to set up a blog if you're a member. It's a separate area called blogs. Get over there, start your own blog, and put in the information, take pictures. It'll keep you motivated. It'll keep people guiding you, providing advice, giving their thoughts. It's a great way to generate dynamic conversation on your tank, and really you'll get a lot out of it, and you'll be giving a lot. Having said that, if you have the inclination, I would highly encourage you to set up a separate blog. Your own PlantedTankJournal.com. Very easy to do today, maybe through even through Blogger.com, which is a free blogging service. We need more blogs out there in the internet besides these huge forums. The saltwater folks tend to have a lot of blogs where people keep journals, online journals, of their aquariums and sharing information besides the forums. We don't tend to do that very much on the freshwater plant and aquarium side. I think we're missing out. I think there's a rich body of knowledge that doesn't get into those online forums that could be in this sort of blog that we're just missing. So if you do have the inclination to do that, blogger.com is free. Million other blogging platforms that you could use. I highly encourage you to do that. And by all means, send me an email at admin@skatefu.com when you've done it so that I can highlight it on this podcast and I can tell the audience and people to go out there and support you and comment on what you're doing. Of course, I'm here. I'm an email away from helping you. Feel free to send me an email. I will try and get back to you within a few days' time. I do have a real-life job. With anything I can do to share my knowledge and experience and 2 cents with you. And if it's something that I think is valuable, I'll be back on this podcast to share it with others. So I've gone a little bit past 30 minutes. I think this, I hope this has given people out there listening a bit of a basics lesson on how to get started. It's impossible in the time frame of a podcast to really capture all of the nuances and watch out fors that you will experience. There will be ups and downs, but there will be more ups, and the reward is certainly worth all of the effort that you put in. But like everything else, time spent planning will save you heartache later. Focus on sufficiency and consistency. Forget about balance. It's futile. It's no such thing. Focus on consistent maintenance and a good quality nutrient providing fertilizing regimen, and you should have no problems. Remember, there's a lot of folks here that are on the other side of your computer, or iPhone, or whatever it is that you're listening to here, or where you research online, that are willing to help you. Just reach out, ask your question. You'll be surprised how willing people are to give you thoughts, recommendations, and share their experiences. But again, give back. You have a responsibility to give back once you've taken. So with that, I wish you the best of luck. Send me pictures, send me emails. Happy to put them on the blog. It would be a great honor to do so. I love seeing new people getting into the hobby. That's what we're all here to do. So in the meantime, I thank you for keeping the plastic out of the aquarium, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.